This week on Hyperspace Broadcasts, ready to form Voltron, activate interlocks, Dynatherms connected, infracells up, megathrusters are go. Hey everyone, welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it was worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about the Netflix collection of Voltron Defender of the Universe episodes, Voltron 84.
They did this based off of, what, like after the fact, after they released their remake Voltron series?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah, and it has interviews with, like, you know, the staff of Voltron Legendary Defender, which is the Netflix show, you know, and basically the staff of Voltron Legendary Defender picked some episodes, which they collected. There's 12 of them total, and that's what we watched, because the actual Voltron series is super, super long. It's like 109 episodes, yeah, if I remember correctly.
I enjoyed this. I don't know if I could last 100 episodes.
Yeah, right. Anything. Yeah, once you get into that territory, watching it all like back to back, it gets pretty old.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I think like I'd like to talk about Legendary Defender a little bit before we jump in, just because I was recommended to see it by a friend of mine named Renee, who I think listens.
Oh, no shit.
So shout out Renee.
Hey, what's up, Renee?
And it's a really well done show. Like, it's basically in the vein of like Avatar: The Last Airbender or Legend of Korra, in that it is definitely a kid's show, but one with a surprising like complexity of character and plot arcs. And it's really satisfying.
In a similar vein, isn't it also kind of like an American show with a sort of anime inspired style?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, there, I think like season four, I feel like they really started to lean into that, which is pretty fun.
That's cool.
Doing some of the like stylistic stuff that, even, you know, not as a huge fan of anime or anything, but I've watched a number of series at this point. And like, I feel like season four of Voltron Legendary Defender, they're starting to do stuff that I've only really seen done in like Gundam Build Fighters.
Yeah, you start seeing the genetics.
Yeah, right. And it's cool. I don't know. It's a good series. It's 39 episodes, and it's a pretty fast watch. But it's really weird because I had never seen, you know, the original Voltron Defender of the Universe. So
yeah, but aired before our times, for sure.
Yeah, right. So going back to it, after seeing this remake, was like an experience I don't think I've ever had before. And it was really strange.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, you see the remake first and then you go back. I did just say this aired before our times. I mean, it did air in Toonami, but I actually honestly don't remember ever seeing ads for it on Toonami.
Nor do I.
Oh, yeah, look, it looks like it aired in 97 in the multi-era.
So, yeah, right.
Kind of when I was like maybe just a little before I started watching.
Yeah, and unlike, say, The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, or I feel like there was something else that made me think I watched when Moltar was still the host, and I just didn't remember it very clearly, but
right.
I don't think I ever actually saw Voltron itself on Toonami. So, yeah, this was an interesting experience. And I guess getting into, like, Voltron Defender of the Universe itself, which is the classic show, it's pretty interesting because I feel like there is this time in anime localization, the sort of, I guess, Robotech era or Voltron era, mm-hmm. more appropriately, where they took multiple shows and just kind of slammed them together and said, all right, this is the show now.
Yeah.
And then dubbed it in such a way that it fit kind of more or less.
Right. That's pretty much what happened here.
I mean, it's exactly what happened here. Like,
it is, but it wasn't like Oh, no, it is. It really is just the same thing as what happened with Robotech. In that the first season of Voltron is a completely different show from the second season.
Right.
But they're all kind of part of the similar genre milieu.
The
shows
super
combining
robot.
Robots. Yeah.
Specifically combining super robots. Those shows, for the record, are Beast King Go Lion, which is the Lion Voltron, as you might expect, and Armored Fleet Dairugger 15.
Yeah.
Which is a great name, which
I just love these names.
Yeah, and that's, of course, the Vehicle Voltron, which, this might surprise you, listener, there's not a single episode in this collection that's from the Vehicle Voltron episodes.
Yeah, it seems like they play it kind of close to the vest as far as, like, the episode selection, because a lot of the episodes from this grab bag are from the, like, a couple of them are, like, just literally the first four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 12, but they're in random order, which is weird, because I think they're in descending order of, like, I don't know if it's, like, cast, like, importance of crew member or whatever, but it's,
I
like,
don't
oh, here's the
think so.
Show
it
creator.
Seems kind of random, actually.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first person's an EP, but then later on we have, like, you know, we have a, one of the voice actors before the head writer, for example, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know
true.
What logic they used, to
but
determine
it,
the order.
We ended up seeing, like, what, like, the third episode, then the second episode, then the first one.
Yeah, right.
But you'd think they would just kind of rearrange it to be in order, at least in that regard, but it didn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Voltron is, like, I was thinking about it, it feels like a starter anime in a way, because it's a show that has, like, some bridge between episodes, but not really much of one.
Yeah, and still with a kind of episodic formula for the most part.
Yeah, right. It's really non-serialized, which, frankly, coming off of Dragon Ball Z was pretty refreshing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
I could use some non-serialized stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But this is,
whoa,
you know,
something new every week?
Right.
Holy shit.
But this is very much, like, you know, coming off of that era of adaptation rather than translation.
Oh, yeah.
For anime stuff. So there's a lot of stuff changed, obviously. I don't want to, like, bother going into that, but it's generally lightened in tone a little bit.
Yeah. I remember hearing it's like, oh, dude, I heard the original Go Lion's fucking nuts. Like, you know, the show that Voltron's based off of. And it's like, yeah, okay, I bet. But it is, you know, there's a character death in this that is change to be a character injury and disappearance from the show.
Yeah, an eventual reappearance, because in Go Lion it was his brother, which,
oh, yeah,
I'm not
like
really
identical looking brother.
Yeah,
back.
Which I'm not really sure which of those two things I prefer, because they're both pretty stupid.
Yeah, they are. Oh, man.
Yeah, the one thing I want to mention about the adaptation before we continue is that there was a sequel to basically the Go Lion Voltron stuff, because that's all anyone gives a shit about is the Lion Force Voltron. And of course, because it was made in the late 90s, it's terrible, terrible CGI for everything, which
really
was just the plague of the 90s. Like, bad CGI adaptations of things was like the fucking post Avatar 3D boom of the 90s. It's like, man,
yeah.
The T-1000 looks great. We can just have the whole show be like that. And it looks like garbage, like, even 5 years later. I mean, even Power Rangers the movie used that shit. It's crazy.
Oh, it looks so bad in Power Rangers the movie. Like, again, reboot is like the good alternative of what any of these look like. And that's kind of a rough thing to say.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. But before we start talking about our favorite episodes, just to give anyone who's not familiar with Voltron kind of an outline of the series, basically you have a gigantic robot that is formed out of five individual robot lions, and each lion is individually piloted. So you've got the characters, the leader, Keith, the kind of, like,
the red guy, the red one.
Of course.
Red is the leader, of course.
But he also pilots the black lion, which is kind of weird to me.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, there's a point.
Stick
so,
to your fucking lane.
Yeah, so there's a point in the beginning of the show when they have, like, corresponding colors to all of the lions, but none of them are in their corresponding lion except Pidge. And Hunk, arguably, but he's in the yellow lion and he's, like, orange. But yeah. For some reason, Lance, Keith, and Sven, the guy who eventually is injured, quote-unquote, are all, like, mixed up. It's just weird. I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, that kind of stuff happens.
We need to walk through each of these characters, though.
Yeah, sure.
Just real quick.
So we got
Keith.
So we got
Keith. He's the red guy. That's about all you need to know.
Yeah, he's the red ranger of the group.
You got Lance, who's like, he reminded me a lot of, I think it was Sai from Ronin Warriors. A lot of these characters have
sure.
direct parallels to Ronin Warriors because
yeah,
the
because
same
it's the same show,
Sentai genre,
more
you know?
Or less.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both. God, like the orange one in both of them is like the big guy, like Kento in Ronin Warriors, and in this one, Hunk.
Yes, it's
Hulk?
Hunk.
What's
it's
name?
Hunk.
Hunk. Okay.
Yeah, and
Hunk,
then we've got. Well, go
Hunk
on
is
with
interesting.
Hunk.
Well, Hunk is interesting just because he has a really, like, the voice of a 45-year-old man.
Yeah, no, he sounds like
in
Mario in the, like, Mario Super Show.
Yeah, that's right.
Almost exactly.
Or in the CDI games, yeah. Like.
Yeah, right. If he broke out, like, Do the Mario, it would not sound like... You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Then we've got Sven, who basically is uninteresting except for his totally crazy accent. That's
Sven's,
unplaceable.
Sven's accent is fucking impossible. Yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah,
it's
after very, he's like... injured, he's replaced by Princess Alora, who's kind of just a damsel, basically. But
yeah.
Also pilots a lion, so that's cool. But
She was interesting and had, like, potential, and then, like, every episode just used her to be a damsel or somehow causing the problem of the episode.
Yeah, she's much more of a plot device, and I feel like part of the problem with that is that the later episodes of this particular collection, like, really dial that in for some reason. Yeah. There's, like, two in a row that are both
There's
just Alora fucks up.
Yeah, it's Alora fucks up because the witch poses as, like, her... family and tricks her.
Yeah, right.
Somehow.
And only her, because everyone else
yeah,
isn't
yeah.
fooled by it. But at any rate, she's not utilized very well, unfortunately. But we're just building up to the main event. Pidge.
Pidge.
The green lion pilot who's fucking crazy.
Pidge is amazing. So you see Pidge, and the first time you see Pidge, you're like, great, the fucking kid of the group. He's Yuli, you know, like he's just like this short little kid. The voice they give him in this is, like, another bonkers Hanna-Barbera voice, like, my name's Pidge, got that? Like, really, like, squirrely, nasally voice. But Pidge as a character is
yeah,
fucking crazy.
As far as the voice, I wrote that he sounds like a goblin. Like,
yeah, that's about right. Like a cartoon goblin. Pidge is, like, the crazy wild card commando of the group. And that he'll just fucking go nuts sometimes and be like, all right, I got to do a backflip to get onto this moving vehicle that's charging right at me. And then I gotta throw a grenade into the cockpit or something crazy like that. He at one point, like, holds he's being held hostage, so he holds everyone hostage by pulling a grenade out. And he's like, I'll blow everyone up. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he like pulls a grenade and then charges the bad guys. It's insane.
Yeah,
Pidge is very
great.
Much like a character who never. It's like the guy who you're trying to plan something out. I mean, I hate to make this reference because it's so dated, but Pidge is the Leroy Jenkins of this group. He is the one
well,
who's
the
just like,
card.
Yeah, all right,
he's
fuck it. I'm just going to do this and we're not going to plan or talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sounds like a goblin, so those things combined
like
makes him
like,
an insane character.
Yeah, yeah. And he's an acrobat, pretty much.
Yeah, a far cry from the Pidge of Legendary Defender in so many ways.
Oh.
Improved ways. But at any rate, very much this show is like Power Rangers. You know, it's a giant robot that combines out of other robots piloted by color-coded dudes. And you know, they're fighting like giant monster things called Robeasts that are being sent by villains that are typically not actually directly engaged with the heroes at all. They're just kind of sending a monster at them.
Well, and it's like, what, the evil King Zolkar?
Yeah, it's King Zarkon. And he just kind of sits on a throne and waves a little scepter that has a pointing hand on it for some reason.
And he looks like a merman.
He's got the purple head with
the webbed ears.
Yeah, he has a witch named Hagar, who is the star, I guess, of a like newspaper comic, Hagar the Horrible.
Hagar, really, though, like, that voice is just, like, the perfect witch voice, if you can picture it.
Yeah, and she has a cat who meows scarily sometimes. But she's, you know, a witch character who does magic and stuff, and is basically the source of every good thing the villains do.
Yeah.
You've got Yorak, who is one of Zarkon's commanders, who at one point I joked kind of sounds like Alex Jones, and then proceeded to laugh at that for like 15 minutes.
Go, lion!
Yeah. Oh, God. And then Prince Lotor, the best character, who just has a mad crush on Allura, and all of his schemes are trying to marry Allura, basically. He's like that villain. They can also
and how like evil he is.
Yeah, right. They can also make their monsters, their Robeasts, grow giant using magnification rays, because again, this is just Power Rangers. Like fire the satellite lasers, make my monster grow, etc.
Yeah, if your Robeast's fucking up, make it huge. And then it'll fuck up again.
Yeah, and then we'll get in Voltron and then we'll beat it.
Yeah, and of course, like, Voltron has the sure kill that is form blazing sword, and they just make a sword out of fire come out of its hands, and they all agree to slash it. It's interesting, like, how... Is Voltron, like, really annoyingly hard to pilot? Like, I'm just trying to imagine trying to pilot anything with five other people.
Yeah, right. I don't know how that's supposed to work exactly. I get the impression that it's, like, mostly the Black Lion, which forms the... Well, forms
the head.
The head. To quote the dialogue when they're transforming, which we get to see basically every episode. But
yeah,
I assume that they're mostly in control and the others are just kind of like, I don't know, like the rest of the staff on the bridge of the Enterprise, I guess. I don't know.
I like to imagine that it's extremely coordinated and it's like, all right, left leg, I need you to move a little bit forward, but like just kind of like lean forward. Right leg, you need to hold it back and keep everything still while we do this crazy sword swing and make which of course is going to make whoever's piloting the arms really sick because you're just rocketing
through space.
Yeah.
Maybe they have like a mental link thing like in Pacific Rim. Isn't that one of those parts of that? But it's between five people, and conveniently they can just add another person to the group when one of them totally doesn't die.
You know what? I bet there'll be a... In Pacific Rim 2, like 2 Rim 2 Furious, they...
you mean Pacific Rim Uprising, which is a movie that exists and is coming out pretty soon.
Well, good. I liked Pacific Rim.
I've heard the sequel is not very good. Personally,
but. Well, shut up. What the fuck? What are you, you fucking Hollywood insider? I don't know. I was just like, well, maybe they could have like I wouldn't put it past them to have like a parody fucking Voltron 5-person version of that shit, and just it'd be pretty funny if they did that, and it just was completely a failure.
Yeah, completely unwieldy, coordinating five people. Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, we should probably talk about our zeniths and nadirs, considering how far we are into this episode right now. I could just bullshit about Voltron all day, but we should probably do the thing that we do on the show. So, my favorite episode out of the Voltron 84 selection was the second, which is called The Stolen Lion. Basically, this episode is, like, shortly after Allura has taken over command of the Blue Lion. So it starts with her training against Lance, and then she, of course, you know, gets shot down because she's a damsel. But
and her character is just made to suck at everything.
Yeah, a lot of the time. It's
at least in this selection.
Yeah, right, right. So anyway, she's fortunately saved by a ship which is piloted by Prince Bokar,
who curiously looks like Lotor. Lotor, sorry. I'm so bad at these names.
Yeah, looks like Lotor. His name sounds like Lotor. He has a crush on Allura. Like, basically everything in the episode is subtly hinting that he's secretly Lotor. But as it turns out, he's actually a snake person who becomes a giant snake man and fucking fights Voltron. And
I mean, he's on Lotor's side at least.
Well, yeah, of course.
That right.
But it's so funny to me, like, literally the first second this character appeared, I was like, oh, that's Lotor in disguise.
Yeah.
I'm way ahead of you here, episode. And I guess the writers decided, like, no, we're going to trick the adults that will watch this show eventually.
Yeah, in 50 years.
Yeah, who would see through this kind of thing. But, you know, basically, it's the best parts of this episode are A, that insane thing. B, that there are multiple points where Bokar just puts a bunch of cobras. Like, there's a scene where he puts a bunch of cobras in the vents of the castle.
Yeah.
And then they all get into Keith's room and he fights them off and is completely casual about it.
Yeah, he's just what a way to try and like assassinate someone. Let's just put a bunch of cobras in the vents. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's really the like Star Wars Episode 2 method of assassination where for some reason you employ an animal.
Oh god.
Yeah, if you remember that shit. So
I don't.
Well, I do, of course. So the other thing that's great about this episode, really, and the reason I chose it, to be honest, is in this collection, this is the first one where we see Voltron actually kill a Robeast. And it is the craziest, like, sure kill animation that I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It just goes on for so long, and at one point it features, like, a roaring lion head superimposed over the image.
Just a shot of a lion roaring.
Which is amazing. I can't think of something that is more, like, Michael Doak, you will laugh at this stupid thing.
Well, it's like, because it's just so excessive. Like, it shows, like, probably more than five different shots of, like, the lion having been slashed starting to explode. Not the lion,
yeah,
the monster starting to explode.
Yeah, right.
Plus a lion, plus, like, all this other shit. Like,
yeah, there's a point where Voltron, like, puts one of its lion hands in the snake's face and shoots a flamethrower straight at his face. It's great. Like, that's the best part of the episode. And it's actually kind of annoying that it's so early in this collection, because none of the other Robeast kills are anywhere near as insane as that one, and they're all kind of a letdown by contrast.
All the other ones are just, they slash him once, they explode, slash in half and explode. And
yeah,
that's
or
it.
They just like fall over. I don't even feel like they explode most of the time.
This one is like, oh man, we got to fill some time. Let's throw some extra shots into this sure kill.
Got to fill some time with the coolest possible stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, since this is a grab bag, we don't usually do this, but we need to, there are a couple episodes we need to talk about just because they're so stupid. Specifically, my honorable mention is the fifth episode of this collection, Doom Boycotts the Space Olympics, which really the title says it all.
Yeah.
This is, I think I might have forgotten to mention that the bad guys are from Planet Doom. And there is this episode where I guess they're building a stadium to hold the Space Olympics, one stadium. To hold the Olympics for the entire universe, I guess. And Doom, like Planet Doom, decides to boycott these Olympics. Why they were invited, I'm not sure. It's just like a bad, you know, topical episode from Russia boycotting the Olympics. And
Soviet Union.
And it's, or yeah, sure. And it's stupid. But it's also, I don't know, got some great moments of Pidge being insane. and some great lines such as it has to be Lotor, the only sport he knows is destruction. That's from Allura.
Well, and I love the introduction to this. Each of these episodes has, like we mentioned, an introduction from the staff member.
Yeah, yeah, chose he picked it.
And this guy just picked it, and he's just like, he knows how stupid it is. It's like, yeah. He clearly just picked the most stupid episode.
Yeah, he clearly picked it because he thinks it's hilarious how ridiculous it is. And, yeah, like,
and
I believe that was the head writer. I'll probably edit in a correction if I'm wrong on that, but I don't know. I feel like that would be a really fun thing to be able to do as the head writer of a show that's pretty good and like takes itself somewhat seriously, to be able to go back to the show that it's inspired by and be like, I'm going to pick the dumbest episode out of all of these to talk about, just to really show the contrast between the two shows. But what was your favorite episode, Peter?
Yeah, my favorite episode was the first one in the grab bag, The Sleeping Princess. And this is an episode where, I mean, it's the first one we watched, first of all, but also Lotor is introduced, and I really liked his design. He has this kind of dark elf kind of look with like this armor, and like the armor is like kind of cheesy but kind of cool at the same time.
You know, that's actually a great description of what he looks like. He looks totally like fucking Drizzt Do'Urden, or however the fuck you're supposed to pronounce that character's name.
Right. It's just kind of a fun episode. It's weird because the episode like kind of just starts with the villain's perspective, but like a dive into like what's happening with the villains. And Lotor's like dealing with this arranged marriage situation, but he wants to marry Allura.
Yeah. God damn it.
It's just like, what? Okay. This is not what I expected.
Yeah. And I seem to remember also that the, you know, the woman that he's arranged to marry is just a human.
It's like a humanoid kind of almost aquatic looking thing too, though.
I'm pretty sure it's just a regular looking human woman, but she talks in like hisses.
Yeah, she has like a gibberish voice. They hang out with just like regular humans sometimes too in the evil planet, which is like, not sure what's going on there, but it's like, oh, I've just got a bunch of dancers hanging out. These women just dancing all around me. I'm Lotor. This is how I hang out.
I mean, to be fair, they're slaves.
Welcome to Lotor's crib.
Because the planet Doom enslaves people and presumably humans.
Oh. Well, yeah, okay. So it's
much creepier and more disturbing than your impression of it. Real Jabba the Hutt scenario.
So there's that. There's the whole Lotor thing. And then we just get this plot of like, oh, Lotor's trying to kidnap the princess again. At one point, the witch's cat just like pounces and tries to attack the princess, and to counter this, Keith throws a bouquet at the cat and like hits it in the air, which of course does nothing, and the cat still just claws into the princess.
No, you're missing a crucial detail, which is that the cat who attacks the princess, A, is easily identified as Hagar's cat, B, is holding a poisoned knife in its mouth to slash her with. Like
that's right.
And yeah, the obviously the counter to that is throwing some flowers at it.
You did it, Keith.
Yeah, this is also a weird episode because like there's a point in the beginning where all of the Voltron Force members are just kind of like frolicking in a field picking flowers for Allura, which is out of place from pretty much everything like, else in the show.
In retrospect, yeah, seems totally out of place. But at least we get like, this is the episode, of course, like this is the fucking real Pidge going insane episode too, because there's like a vehicle charging at him that they're trying to like run him over, and he just jumps and lands like on top of it on this like speeding vehicle. And then it's also the one where he's like in a hostage situation and just pulls out a grenade and starts threatening to blow himself up.
Yeah. And rushes like, Lotor and Hagar, who for some reason are there. Like,
what is happening? Also, like in that same hostage situation, all the lions show up, and then they just like get out of the lion.
Yeah,
it's like you could just like try and do something in your lines beforehand. No,
that I think is my favorite detail of this episode, is that they go through this, like, the stock footage sequence to get to the lions, and that's then they fly over, and then they get out of the lions and pull out pistols. Like,
yeah, I didn't even consider it in terms of the stock footage, but you're right.
It's so it's funny
all, like,
to me.
Like, elaborate sequence to get to the lions, get in them, get them all together, then they just get out.
Yeah, it's amazing. Great.
My honorable mention is the Treasure of Tyrus. Now, when Doak and I saw this description for this episode, I think it was kind of late at night, and we were like, maybe we'll call it a night. Oh, no. The Netflix summary alone let us know that, of course, it is Lotor's birthday. Lotor, the evil prince, it's his birthday. And we're like, we have to watch this. It's the evil guy's fucking birthday. And the episode is about, mostly about, like, he's relaxing at an evil spa, yeah, getting an evil massage.
Evil spa planet where that's, like, introduced just pouring a bunch of blood into a cauldron, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
And then it, like, cuts to Lotor getting a massage.
And Hagar's, like, giving the cat a bath. It's like,
yeah, right.
What is going on here?
That's what, yeah, right. Hagar is giving the cat a bath in blood, if I remember correctly.
That's right. And then, like, what, like, it turns out,
well,
his ship is about to be captured. And,
yeah,
and
Lotor was supposed
Zarkon,
to be guarding it.
Yeah, so he's Zarkon, like, you should be guarding it. And he's like, I didn't want to tell you, but I got you a golden statue of yourself for your birthday, and it's in that.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, so basically, Voltron Force, like, gets on the spaceship, kind of infiltrates Lotor's people wearing guard uniforms of guards that are quote-unquote knocked out, which is a thing that the show employs a lot, is by mentioning, like, basically any time robots are mentioned in this show, it's guaranteed that we're gonna see some of them die at some point to, like, soften the blow. But
that's right. Get out our robotic anti-ship defenses, and it's, like, clearly men with mounted
with
guns
turrets,
firing at
and
these
then
ships,
one of them explodes.
They just get blown up. Yeah, those are robots. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Don't worry about it, kids. Everything's
just
fine.
Just like that cargo robot in DBZ. It's just a manned helicopter that
pretty
exploded.
Much. Or I think it's like a Federation shuttle, kind of. Whatever. We're not talking about DBZ anymore for a long time.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm having flashbacks. So
they all end up getting captured, and Lotor is still going on with his birthday and gets this giant fucking cake.
A cake
and
that's
then
dragged
up,
in by, like, trucks. Like, it's so enormous.
And they end up breaking out and, like, blowing up the cake.
But
it's like,
first,
I said order devil's food cake, not angel's
food. Yeah,
because
it's angel food. But the best part of this, which you're skipping over, is the leader of the spa planet at one point suggests to Lotor that they torture the captives by eating cake in front of them, which is amazing.
That's so good.
Oh, my God.
Let us torture the captives by eating cake in front of them.
It's like this show, like, perfectly gets my sense of humor, which is sad because it's for children. But like,
you know, shit happens.
Yeah, but stuff like that just for some reason makes me laugh so hard because it's just the absurdity of it. Ugh. Well, what about your least favorite episode?
Oh, my least favorite. Well, mine's probably more for my least favorite is Escape to Another Planet. It is the third episode in the grab bag, but it's a pretty early on episode in the show.
Yeah, I think it's the first one.
The second, I think.
Okay.
They end up crash landing on the planet of Eris, which is, like, where the whole lion castle is, where they meet the lions. They basically just learn this whole backstory legend of the lions, which is, like, mildly interesting, but kind of whatever. There isn't too much, like, too many, like, villains and stuff. Sven is there, so we get to hear his wacky voice.
Yeah.
But my problem with this episode is a technical error, which I'm not sure what the deal is. Yeah, this is a really strange episode because at moments the dialogue would kind of speed up as if they kind of almost cut out pauses in it. Or
no, it
like
sounds
like
it's just
to try and get
increase
lip
the
something.
Speed. It's really weird. I can't even really explain it.
So yeah, it'd be like if your character were to say, your face is disgusting, which Pidge happens to say to Hunk, what a nice guy, he might go, your face is disgusting! It's like, whoa.
Yeah, something like that. It's weird. It's a weird thing.
I did some digging online, and I don't have evidence, but from what I understand, it was probably a technical error in the remastering or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something on Netflix's end and not really a thing with the original show. But sure. Who knows?
Yeah,
it was weird though, and it's a distracting kind of error that happens throughout the whole episode.
Yeah. So
what was your least favorite?
Yeah, so my least favorite episode of this batch was the last one, and I think there's a possibility that it's just, you know, by virtue of being the last one, so I'm kind of done with the show at this point.
Huh.
But that would be episode 12 of the 84 collection. And it's called Give Me Your Princess, and basically the whole plot of this episode is that Allura takes the Black Lion and tries to fight Lotor or something by herself and, like, sucks at it. And then Voltron Force is all upset at her, and then she's, like, self-doubting and gives herself up to Lotor, and then everyone has to go rescue her. And it's, like, one of the things about watching this show that's frustrating that we've already talked about a little bit, but the treatment of Allura is just not great. It's like Jesse Bannon in season 2 of The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest. It's like way, way too many of these episodes are focused on her fucking up, and then that's the fucking driver for the entire plot, basically.
Yeah, and her emotions causing her to, you know, she's always sad all the time from.
Well, it's not that. It's like
her emotions causing her to make bad decisions that lead to all this, or I don't know. Yeah, it's always.
I'm not sure I'd say that. It's mostly like she's tricked by something, but nobody else is, or like. So the entire plot of this episode is based on Allura taking the Black Lion because she wants to be a leader for, like, her people. Which is actually, like, an interesting motivation. It makes sense. But it's so weird because, I mean, basically this is the kind of episode where I can't help but compare it to Legendary Defender, which isn't really fair. Mm-hmm. But this basic conflict is the kind of thing that Legendary Defender could build an episode around that would be really interesting about the team having to, like, make that decision. There are episodes of Legendary Defender essentially about that, and they're really interesting, and they give the characters a lot of, like, development and depth. And it's probably not really fair to expect that from a, you know, kids show from the 80s. You know, I mean, what am I expecting, really? But at the same time, like, I don't know. This is just the probably, for me, the most irritating example of the, like, Allura is the cause of every plot problem with the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, with these episodes, I don't know.
God, there's so much grief also just over the simple fact that she chose the wrong color lion.
Well, I mean,
that was his line. You're not supposed to do that. Ah.
I mean, but, and again, I'm like taking Legendary Defender here, but there's probably at some point in this show some indication that they work a little differently and that not everyone's just interchangeable. Like,
sure.
You know, I mean, there's a reason that they have the lions that they do, at least. Again, in Legendary Defender, there is a reason. In this, who knows? Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But I'm more forgiving about that aspect of it than the aspect of, like I wish, and of course this would never work, because, again, it's a kid's show from the 80s, but it would have been awesome if this episode was, like, about Allura trying to, you know, be a leader and, like, talk to the rest of the Force to reach a decision about this, and that causes conflict. But of course, again, it's basically Power Rangers, so that shit's not gonna happen. We should probably get to our break because we're running a bit long.
Sure. And right after the break, we'll talk about our thoughts overall on the show and check out what's coming up next week.
Toonami will return in a moment with Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Hey there, listener. This is Michael, and I just wanted to thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, why not subscribe on iTunes and consider leaving us a review while you're there? If you want to interact with us more directly, we'd love to hear from you. We can be found at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter at HBpod. We tend to post multiple times through the week, clips, screenshots, that sort of thing. We've also been posting throwback episodes on Thursdays if you're just starting and want to check out some of our older content. Our next episode, we'll be watching Batman the Animated Series, and that will be up on November 29th. And we will be back to Voltron in just a moment.
Let the fun begin!
Brutal! All right, we're back from the break. And I guess, you know, I'm just going to pick up where I left off with my thoughts on this overall. Like, here's the thing about Voltron to me. I actually did enjoy it quite a bit. But a lot of that was due to the, like, just goofiness of it.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's fun. That stuff is fun with it, watching 12 episodes. I don't think that that could sustain the show for 100 episodes for me, personally. Like, sure. It's enjoyable, but that is kind of a problem. And really, like, you know, I basically just ranted about Allura for a bit. But here's the thing. Like, we tend to, or we have been lately, like, kind of ragging on female characters in these shows. And I feel like that could be misconstrued. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Which is frustrating for me because that's not my intention with this. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to look.
We're not ragging on the characters because they're female or because of whatever, because aspects that they embody, but so much more we're just ragging on the portrayal of a female character seeming unrealistic and usually just as a cop-out for plot development. Like, oh, this character, she's female, so we're gonna make her weak in some way and have that cause a problem. That's how it is for me.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm getting at is that for the most part with me, it's just the employment of, like, kind of lazy and, you know, I don't necessarily want to say harmful, but kind of tropes. Like,
stereotypical.
Yeah, right. And the thing is, again, this is a show from the 80s. So what do I expect? And this is a, like, weird thing I find myself struggling with sometimes, is not really wanting to judge something based on modern standards, but at the same time recognizing that that's kind of a cop-out, and that, like, this still disenfranchised people in the 80s. It's just, well, yeah, that the and people in power were okay with it more.
We also judge, you know, everything else about the show from a modern perspective.
That's true.
But, you know, when it comes to issues of sex or something like that, it's like you get a little more, it's like, oh, it's a little more touchy or something, or maybe things have changed so much or something like that. But I think it's still important to do so. I mean,
yeah,
I get
right.
Not being extremely harsh, like, oh, this show's fucking, well, sexist trash. But, like,
yeah, right.
You know,
well, what I'm trying to get at with that is, like, I have to give the show some credit in that she is on the team.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the reasons that Doom boycotts the Space Olympics was kind of a nice episode is because basically Allura saves the day in it. And, you know, like, she's not the driver of that plot in any way by being bad at piloting the Lion or being tricked by Hagar.
Right.
Which is, like, one of the reasons I liked it more. I feel like that's what I'm saying when I'm like, I don't know if I, you know, should judge this totally by modern standards, because to an extent, I mean, obviously she is, like, this character would be kind of offensive, I think, in a modern show. At the same time, I want to give the show some credit for making her a part of the team. Like, I don't know if it's maybe a small step towards having a character that wasn't always the one who screws things up.
Yeah, and also, who knows where the show goes beyond, you know, where the show goes beyond these selection of episodes.
Right,
most of
exactly.
them from the first, you know, 10
yeah, from
episodes, Go-Line. Really. Of, like, 100. Who knows where they take the character in that regard? And
yeah,
maybe,
sure.
You know, if she does become more competent over time or something, and we're just seeing, like, all the moments where she happens to just kind of suck or cause problems. But I don't know. You know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, in this case, what I'm saying is I don't really mind a character, like, driving plots by screwing up. I just wish
sure.
that it were more evenly distributed.
Because
yeah, it's pretty much entirely Allura,
no,
and it's never anyone else, and that's
yeah.
annoying as fuck. Like,
it's the point of, like, Allura seems to get a lot more screen time than anybody else, even. Which is interesting, but it's
yeah.
also, like... Yeah, it's like no one else fucks up, and she gets all the shit for fucking up.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's annoying.
So,
and, like,
yeah.
that's one of the things that started to wear on me by the end of these episodes, particularly because I do feel like, for whatever reason, these are very much backloaded with a bunch of episodes that are Allura causing the whole problem, like,
yeah.
right at the end, right in a row, which sucks. I don't know.
It's interesting, though, Allura too,
and Legendary
a lot of these episodes...
Defender is much, 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 much better in
no, I'm
pretty
sure.
much every way, unsurprisingly.
Well, and a lot of these episodes were picked by members of the staff, some of them who were, I don't know if it was, like, most or half were, like, female, and they were, like, some of them were just like, hey, you know, Allura was a really cool character, I liked her in the show, but, you know, she's not portrayed great, but, you know, there's
yeah,
times
well,
where she is kind of badass or competent, and I'm sure... By comparison, the character in Legendary Defenders is much more well-rounded,
yeah.
at the very least.
Yeah, and of course, also Legendary Defender has other characters causing problems, too, because... You
no
know,
way.
Because it's a good show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, overall, I thought that this was pretty entertaining. I don't think I could watch 100 episodes of it, because most of the entertaining stuff came from... stuff like the crazy takedown of the snake monster
yeah.
or like the stupidity of the evil spa planet
and from just like the novelty of it you know on some level
yeah sure so
like,
what did you
I get
think
excited whenever
I guess
I start a new show
like let's transfer
I enjoyed
it.
Watching this show it's always nice to see another sampling of very early anime adaptation in the U.S. especially, you know, like just like kind of Macross and this, and at some point we're going to get to Battle of the Planets or that kind of shit. Yeah, that'll be interesting. That's also stuff that aired on like somewhere in the depths of Toonami and like Molter.
Yeah, it's actually that's actually G-Force, which is a different
G-Force,
adaptation
right.
of what Science Ninja Gachaman.
Science Ninja Gachaman.
Which
yeah, there we go. Battle of the Planets is a different adaptation
yeah, yeah.
of the same show.
yeah, that'll be fun to talk about.
It's crazy, but like that kind of era is really interesting to me. It's a lot of stuff that I never had experience with. And I like some of the wackier aspects of the show. Like, they really have, like, wacky Hanna-Barbera voices for some of these characters.
Well,
it
yeah.
just makes it
Page is
kind of outrageous
ridiculous.
To watch. It's just ridiculous.
I like the idea of it being literally outraged. That you're outraged
yeah,
while
so
watching
mad.
It.
Did you hear Pidge's voice?
This is bullshit.
I'm out of here. But yeah, I'd say this show is some good fun to watch overall. Like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Most parts of this whole selection, and to be fair, it's a selection of, like, some people's favorite episodes.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But most parts of it managed to keep it interesting. You know, the only thing I really got sick of was, like, the kind of Allura stuff we just complained about. But
yeah, at length.
Beyond that, it's like, it was an interesting and fun watch. It's something I would even consider watching a little more of, just randomly for, like, fun, in the kind of way we would watch Power Rangers and
yeah, right.
drink in college.
Well, here's the thing, actually.
100 episodes is a lot, though, and that's not something I'm going to do.
Sit down and watch and talk about on a weekly basis?
yeah,
yeah, no,
yeah.
me neither.
I'm sure that would be...
You mentioned Power Rangers, and I want to say that to me, this is kind of a dumb comparison, but to me, this very much felt like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, in the sense that, like, sometimes it was funny, but there wasn't really anything to like consistently hold my attention. Nothing to really grab onto that.
Yeah.
Like maybe more
watching. Yeah, I could see that. It's pretty much only in that way. Like when you said it was like Power Rangers at first, I was like, well, it's sure not in modern day, and it's sure not with just like normal kids.
Well, okay, yeah. But I mean in the sense that they have
I don't understand how comparisons work.
Yeah, they fight monsters that then grow giant that they have to get into a combining robot to fight. Like
yeah, for sure.
And the way the villains interact with them as well is like completely indirectly most of the time is very Power
and with
Rangers.
Each other. The way the villains interact with each other too is kind of reminiscent.
Right, right.
And just how they will sometimes just want to do normal person things. It's not as goofy as the Power Rangers villains. Like, it still takes itself more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still those stupid moments where it's like, yeah, let's relax at the evil spa.
Or Zarkon saying, Kitty is excited, in reference to Hagar's
excited
cat. Which may be one of my favorite lines in this whole thing. There's so many...
Emperor
like,
of evil. Just
yeah, the king of planet Doom. Kitty is excited. Yeah, well, let's get to our recommendations. So, as always, the categories would be visit, a thing that you would suggest someone watch, like, legitimately, something that's actually very good. Revisit, which would be a thing that you might say you should watch if you're familiar with the property and you want kind of a dose of nostalgia. Or a leave in the past, which is a thing that will probably tarnish your memory of the show if you watch it again. Well, what do you think it is?
I'd say it's a good revisit. I enjoyed visiting it, but as far as like if you're familiar with the Voltron franchise and you want to see what the hell people are talking about and you are, you know, you're okay with a little stupid wackiness and having fun with that kind of stuff, I think it's an enjoyable watch. This sampling, I will say.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, neither of us can talk about the whole 100 episodes.
Well, yeah, but that's not really...
Are willing to watch the whole 100 episodes.
Yeah, but that's not really the point of the grab bag. The point of the grab bag is to get us...
So yeah, I'd recommend jumping in, checking it out.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to agree with you. I think it's a pretty solid revisit. I think that, you know, obviously it's a dated show. Both in like animation and plot structure and frankly gender politics, not to get into that yet again, but it's enjoyable. And I think that checking out the Netflix collection as we did Voltron 84 is kind of like, it really is a good crop of episodes. But I might stop watching around episode 8. Or just kind of jump around, because you need to watch The Treasure of Planet Tyrus, because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But you could probably skip, like, the episode where Allura thinks a lion is her father because Hagar has manipulated her with magic. And the episode where where Hagar impersonates Allura's aunt, and nobody believes that it's her aunt except Allura. Like, those aren't fun to watch, but... Treasure of Planet Tyrus, man, that was maybe the most fun I've had watching stuff in the last, I don't know, like 3 weeks?
Yeah, yeah.
Well...
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's, it's definitely an interesting watch, and it was worthwhile, and it was a good refresher from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, right, and also, like, again, for me, it was interesting to see as someone who will once again plug Voltron Legendary Defender. It was interesting to see
interesting.
A different interpretation of some of the characters.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of in the way that Super Friends was fun as a big fan of the like DC animated universe stuff.
Yeah.
This is fun being a fan of Legendary Defender.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a very similar setup. Speaking of DC animated universe stuff, hey, that's a good transition for once.
Hey, there you go.
We're going to be watching Batman the Animated Series Season 1 starting next week. That is going to be interesting. I have heard that the first several episodes are actually not great, but we will see. And
yeah, fuck it.
Dip our toe into the DCAU, like shows, I guess, for the first time on the podcast.
And if it's anything like the movies, it's definitely going to be pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Man, yeah, and I love the style of that show. So I'm excited because yeah, I watched a little bit of that show as a kid, and we'll get onto that. But
yeah, well, we'll talk about that next week. This has been Hyperspace Broadcast. As always, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week for Batman the Animated Series.
Ultra Defenders of the Universe.
Nah, didn't come out right.
Some acknowledgements. Bumpers were taken from the video Voltron Toonami Bumpers, uploaded by Toonami Fan. The opening and closing music is Vapor Divin' by Onatech, off the album Onatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and you probably should because it's pretty good stuff. Rights were secured through Jamendo.
It's fucking Pidge.
Yeah.
He is my favorite.
Yeah. No, Pidge is absurd.
I never thought that character would be my favorite anyway. See, I'm just like, what the fuck?
Three, two, one.